taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Have you noticed how those in government and certain other groups have a single solution to any particular problem? Well, like the only solution to COVID was masking and fake vaccines. Or the only solution to gun violence is to restrict legal gun ownership. And one of my personal favorites, the only answer to bad information is to shut up your opponent. Now, there's a saying that goes, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, it certainly appears that, well, to those in government, the media, and the rest of the progressive movement, the solution to every problem is tyranny. Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study. I'm here, Paul Engel. I am so glad you could join me. And today we're going to take a look at how the solution that we're presented with, and often the only solution we're told we can investigate, well, simply involves more tyranny. So let's start with this idea of vaccinations. And I'm going to back it up to COVID a little bit because we're seeing the repeat. See, we've already seen reports out of the CDC about an outbreak of monkeypox. Now, for those of you who don't know, monkeypox is dramatically different than COVID. See, monkeypox is transferred by physical contact. Generally, what they're referred to as intimate contact, contact with another person's fluids. COVID is a respiratory disease. You exhale the virus, and therefore other people can pick it up. However, as if right on cue, once we have this discussion, oh, there's a monkeypox, what does the CDC do? Well, their first recommendation is wear a mask. That's right. It's the one-shot wonder. It's their one-trick pony. Hey, there's a disease out there. Everybody wear a mask. Kind of goes to show that the CDC is less about disease and it seems to be more about controlling the American people. I mean, even Fauci admitted that the whole thing with wearing masks is more about power and control. So now here we go once again. The CDC recommends travelers avoid close contact with affected people, wash their hands with soap and water, and avoid touching eyes, nose, and mouth. This all makes sense, right? From a monkeypox type standpoint, right? Because it's transmitted through fluids, especially fluids that you will find in the pustules that often form with the disease. But they also recommended travelers wear masks. Now, they did finally figure out their mistake, and they did eventually remove the mask language from the recommendation. But it just shows, oh, okay, we have a disease. Here you go, rubber stamp. Here's our form letter. Everybody simply bow to government control. Wear masks and go to town. Now, again, at least they did update their information. They did recognize that, well, that's pretty stupid from a medical standpoint. So let's just drop the mask standpoint. But of course, I could understand the design, you know, the recommendation of using masks if there was evidence, well, that masks actually worked, or at least from the standpoint of a respiratory disease. But there's a new observational study that was just published, I believe, published in Medicine, called the Feugen effect, a mechanism by which face masks contribute to the COVID-19 case fatality rate. Now, what this paper did is they analyzed whether mandatory mask use influenced the case fatality rate in Kansas. This is during a period from from August 1st to October 15th, 2020. Get the right dates. Now, Kansas was used because the state allowed each of its 105 counties to decide whether or not to implement mask mandates. Now, 81 counties decided against mask mandates. Now, from the paper summary, we read, The most important finding from this study is that, contrary to the accepted thought that fewer people are dying because infection rates are reduced by masks, this was not the case. Results from this study strongly suggest that mask mandates actually caused about 1.5 times the number of deaths, or approximately 50% more deaths compared to no mask mandate. Now, I'm sure curious minds want to know, why would wearing a mask actually make it more likely for you to die from COVID? Well, again, reading from a report on the paper, a rationale for the increased RR, I believe they mean reinfection rate, by mandating masks is probably that virons that enter or those coughed out in droplets are retained in the face mask tissue, and after quick evaporation of the droplets, hypercondensed droplets or more virons not inside a droplet, are re-inhaled from a very short distance during inspiration. Now, this has been dubbed the Feugen effect. I think I'm pronouncing that properly. And the idea is, listen, when you cough out, if you've got the virus, right, because it's not simply whether or not you have the virus, it's how much of the virus, a certain viral load for you to get sick. So if you cough out the virus, but because it's trapped by the mask, you then re-inhale that virus, you don't give your body the ability to remove the virus from itself. And you get a greater viral load, therefore you're more likely to get sick. At least that's what I understand from what I've read so far. So once again, we see the, common sense, we've got to do this. Turns out not to work. Which again is another example of why we shouldn't simply do what somebody says, especially because they work for the government. But that's not alone. See, there's another report out of The Lancet. Now, The Lancet is an international medical journal. It's well known. Now, the study specifically replicates the CDC study, which CDC study found a negative association between masks and pediatric cases of COVID, meaning, same thing, more people wore masks, the more likely they were to get sick, or at least children, right? We're talking, they're dealing specifically with pediatric cases. But it went beyond that. It extended the study to include more districts over a longer period of time. In fact, this study has almost 6 times as much data as the original CDC study. And you know what they found? They found even with the larger sample, the longer period, they found no significant relationship between mask mandates and case rates. Meaning, masks do not stop the spread of COVID. There's no significant data that says masks prevent the spread of COVID. For all those people who claimed I wanted to kill grandma because I wouldn't wear a mask, ta-da! Isn't it amazing when data wins out? I'm sure most people that are pro-mask, they're not going to pay any attention to this data. But it's there. So when I see reports that University of California at Los Angeles, University of Hawaii at Manoa, the University of Delaware, even George Washington University are reinstating or extending their masking policies, all in contradiction to data. But here's what's interesting. So George Washington University may be the only private university there. I'm not sure if George Washington is a private university or public university. But University of Los Angeles, University of Hawaii, and University of Delaware, I believe, are all public universities, meaning they're owned by the public. They are infringing on your rights without due process. And they're doing so in contravention of the actual data. Now, my question is, why would you support organizations that destroy your rights? It's a simple enough question, isn't it? Why would we continue to support organizations? Why would you fund, I don't care if they're universities, I don't care if they're private schools, I don't care what businesses they are, why are you funding businesses that are out to destroy your rights rather than to protect your rights? Now, remember, it wasn't just masks. We were all told that the magical vaccines, quote-unquote vaccines, because they're not legally vaccines, the magical vaccines will fix absolutely everything. And they failed miserably. I mean, just miserably. But here we go. After a single case of monkeypox is reported in the U.S., the federal government, the Biden administration, places an order for $119 million of pox vaccine. It's actually a smallpox vaccine, but it also works against monkeypox. Now, again, the federal government has no delegated authority to deal with public health. None, zero, zilch, nada. They're spending, the Congress is not allowed to collect taxes to pay for medicine, but here they are, because they're spending your money on the response of a single reported case of monkeypox. The very first, as soon as it showed up, let's spend your money to get more vaccines. How long do you think before they're going to start pressing people to get vaccines? Coercing people. How long? Well, guess what? They're already doing it. Federal officials have already confirmed that the monkeypox vaccine is now being offered to healthcare workers who have been exposed, according to the White House. Okay, they've been exposed. That's fine. I want to know why it's the federal government that's paying for this and not the employer. I mean, if you're talking about healthcare workers, if they were exposed on the job, their employer should cover the vaccine, not John Q. Public and Jane Q. Public. But that's the answer to everything. It always comes down to, let's give the government more control. The government will tell you to wear masks. The government will tell you to get vaccines. We'll buy the vaccine so we have control of the vaccine so that we can spend more of your money, take it out of your control, and put it in the control of mostly bureaucrats. Yeah, some elected officials, but a lot of this is being done by the bureaucrats. Now, if you're concerned about monkeypox, I have a very simple suggestion for you. Talk to your doctor. Ask your doctor to do some research on monkeypox and smallpox and all that, and then decide for you what is the best solution. Why do I want the doctor to talk to you? Because the doctor should have an idea of your medical history. Do you have any conditions or diseases that would make you more susceptible to monkeypox or not? Does your job or anything make you more likely to be exposed to monkeypox or not? Does your medical history show any reasons why the virus might be more dangerous to you than not? See, you are an individual. And I think you should make a decision with the best information you could find. And while not all doctors may have the best information, it's probably the best you have access to. But that's the difference. See, I see you as an individual. I think you should make an individual decision with the best information you have. And then as information changes over time, update your decision. But that's not what the tyrants want. That's not what those in government want you to do. And certainly not those at the university. They don't want to treat you as an individual. They want to treat you as a group. Everybody must do this. Everybody must be involved in this. And how long before a vaccine recommendation becomes a vaccine mandate? It didn't take all that long with COVID. What makes you think it's going to take very long with monkeypox? This is what I'm saying. To a hammer, everything looks like a nail. To a tyrant, everything looks like the opportunity to control the population. Whether that's COVID or monkeypox or masks or fake vaccines or rules or regulations, everything seems to point in a single direction. The infringement of your rights, the decrease of your freedoms and liberty, and the control of you by government officials. See, if you're a government bureaucrat, you're a hammer. And no matter what the problem is, the nail is more government telling more people how to live their lives. And as Albert Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is one of the definitions of insanity. So the question is, are the American people insane? Are we going to learn from our history? Or are we simply going to repeat it over and over and over and over again? Now, since we're talking about COVID and monkeypox, I think it'd be a good time to talk a little bit about HealthyCell. Especially their immune super boost. It's designed to support your immune system while you're on the go with a simple nutrient pack, a nutrient supplement in a travel-ready gel pack. It's easy to use. I take it especially when I'm on the road. When you're on the road, when you're traveling, your body gets worn down. Your immune system has more and more it has to deal with. It needs a little extra help. Now you can try Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost or any of their products. Just go to healthycell.com. They've got some wonderful products. My family uses them. We love them. And as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. So again, go to healthycell.com. Put together any of your order, check out all their products, put together your order. When you check out, use that code out loud. It'll let them know you listen to America Out Loud, and they'll give you 20% off your first order. Now, also, please check out my other website, constitutionstudy.com. In fact, I'm putting together my new tour. So go to constitutionstudy.com/tour to find out more. I'm still looking for venues. I'm still looking for support, and I'm looking for locations. So if you can share this information, again, the website's constitutionstudy.com/tour. This year, I'm focusing on the blessings of liberty. The preamble to the Constitution says that one of the reasons they formed this document was to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. And I want to help you do that. Now, again, you can find details, you can find event locations, but there's a form there. If you would like me to come to speak to your group or at your event, please fill out the form. And I'll give you I'll contact you, and we'll see if we can make it happen. I'm working very hard to accommodate all the requests that are coming in. I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to hear about these blessings of liberty. But if you will, please, whether you can join me or not, share the page. Share it with friends, family. Share it on social media. Help other people find out that there is a place they can go to learn about those blessings of liberty, to learn how to share those blessings of liberty, and to make sure that we can continue to enjoy those blessings of liberty into our future.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
People often ask me, Malcolm, how do we fight the corruption? Robert Frost has said it best, freedom lies in being bold. Well, for six incredible years, bold is America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 120 times per month. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains full effective doses of science-backed nutrients, like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day, pill-free, ultra-absorption ingestible gel. It tastes great, comes in a convenient squeeze gel pack, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's healthycell.com, H-E-A-L-T-H-Y-C-E-L-L, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution study. Today, we're pointing out that, there just seems to be a single solution to every problem, at least from the viewpoint of those in government. And it always seems to be More government, more tyranny, less freedom. Well, let's give you an example here. Recently, after the recent spate of shootings, Senator Richard Blumenthal said that gun violence protection is going to be on the ballot in the midterm elections. Wonderful. I would love to have that on the ballot. So here's what I want every American to think about. Whenever we disarm law-abiding citizens, we make it easier for criminals to not only commit their crimes, but to endanger our lives. There's a line, we've heard it from the movies, like bringing a knife to a gunfight. So imagine, there you are, law-abiding citizen, going about your life. Maybe you're out on the street, maybe you're at home, maybe you're at work. And crime shows up, evil shows up on your door. Why is it it's always, we don't want you to be able to defend yourself with a gun, we want you to bring a knife to a gunfight? Well, actually, I doubt they really want us to bring knives. What they really want us to do is to sit and cower and wait for the government to show up with the guns to protect us. See, when I see the violence in Buffalo, in Uvalde, my question is, how can the people defend themselves? But the hammer from government is always, how can we disarm the people to make them more dependent on us? And I have to admit, there is a self-serving reason, I believe, why so many people seem so bent on keeping guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. See, we always think about it, I need to defend myself against a criminal. I need the tool to protect myself when an armed invader comes into my home or into my business or tries to steal my car. I need protection. What happens when the armed criminal is government? Just ask Cliven Bundy or Lavoie Finicum. Or how about the people still sitting in jail for at best misdemeanors because they happen to happen on January 6th? See, when only criminal and governments have guns, only the criminal and the governments are safe. Paul, you want to take up arms against your government if the government is acting in a criminal manner? Yes. There's a story. If you haven't read this before, I haven't heard of this before, go to my website, constitutionstudy.com, search for the Battle of Athens. Happened in Athens, Tennessee in 1944. The short version is the corrupt county government, the sheriff and others in the county, were stealing elections. They were allowing illegal people to vote. They were allowing illegal voting. They were denying people the right to vote. And they were manipulating the vote counts. And a bunch of veterans just back from the war in Europe decided to stand up against the criminal actions of their government. Yes, they used firearms. And once they when they prevailed and they found the actual theft, the actual attempt to steal the election, well, they got things fixed. What would have happened if there was no way? If only the sheriff's department, which was in on it, it was the sheriff was one of the corrupt officials. What would have happened if these men did not have arms to defend themselves against the criminal actions of their government? Governments are not magical, blessed groups. They're made up of people. And just like anywhere else, sometimes you're going to have good people. Sometimes you're going to have bad people. Sometimes you're going to have criminal people in office, and we must defend ourselves. So what happens when nobody but the government has the guns? There's no check on their criminal activity. Now, it's not just government, because I always, the government and the media have become so intertwined as almost to become the fourth, the media has almost become the fourth branch of government. Now, sometimes they don't use gun laws to try and convince you to give up your right to protect yourself. Well, for example, after the shooting in Buffalo, the Los Angeles Times referred to the Buffalo as a far right, as coming from the far right ecosystem. Rolling Stone headline claimed that the Buffalo shooter isn't a lone wolf. He's a mainstream Republican. And the New York Times links mass murder to former House Speaker Newt Gingrich and New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Isn't it interesting? Because if you read the actual manifesto from the gunman, he self-identifies as an eco-fascist national socialist, a member of the quote-unquote mild and moderate authoritarian left. See, again, we're using the opportunity to institute tyranny. Let's take this opportunity to tar our political opponents so that we can win the upcoming election that, again, the senator said, will be a decision of gun control. Well, gun violence protection. Now, he says gun violence protection. What he's really talking about is gun control. Because that's what's happening. In January, we are electing. We are hiring representatives. Do you want to hire representatives like, say, Liz Cheney for blaming the Buffalo attack on the House GOP leadership in an attempt to deprive you of your right to defend yourself? Now, if you believe, if you want to put your entire protection in the hands of the federal government, of your state and local governments, okay, that's your choice. But you see, we live in a constitutional republic, which means the Constitution supersedes even the acts of Congress. Any act of Congress contrary to the Constitution is void. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of Alexander Hamilton, or the sentiments of Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison. They always turn to an attempt to take control of a situation. And again, not just guns. We've all heard about the baby formula shortage. And hopefully by now, you've heard that it was caused in large part due to an FDA overreaction, apparently, to regarding a plant, a baby formula plant, where they found some evidence of something that was not actually in the baby formula, but somewhere else. And rather than dealing with that little problem, they shut the plant down. I believe this plant supplies 40% of our domestic baby formula. Oh, by the way, the federal government restricts the importation of baby formula. So you have the federal government limiting the supply on once from foreign countries, limiting the supply from a domestic manufacturer. And then what do we hear? The Federal Trade Commission is now launching an investigation into the ongoing baby formula shortage. In a statement, the FTC said they want to inquire and find information on the nature and prevalence of any deceptive, fraudulent, or otherwise unfair business practices aimed at taking advantage of families during this shortage. How about you start by looking at Washington, D.C., at the restriction on international, Congress can pass laws involving foreign commerce. They have that authority, but that also means they have the responsibility. They have the responsibility of if they're going to restrict imports, they're responsible. How about the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration? They looked at a situation, and I honestly believe that from evidence I've seen so far, they overreacted. It's like it would be like showing up and to the hospital with an infection in a cut where that's infected and deciding to put you in complete isolation because of an infected cut. See, rather than looking at the businesses, now, how do they define unfair? Okay, if supply goes down, prices go up. That's the nature of commerce. It's the nature of free enterprise. But no, rather than investigating the federal government's complicity in, if not creating, exacerbating this problem, no, we're going to look at the companies and see if we can blame somebody else so that we can maintain control, because the federal government says we know better than everybody, whatever's wrong, we have to be in control. Are you picking up on a theme here? Are you picking up on the recurring story? The story frequently starts with government making a mess. And it always seems to end with government taking control. Government, now I'm not blaming government for gun violence, not directly. But we have government involved in the baby formula shortage. We have government involved in inserting itself into the COVID mess, making things worse. And now they seem poised to do it again with monkeypox. And the answer that government always brings is just give us more control, give us more money, let us do what we want, don't take responsibility. All it will cost you is more and more and more of your freedom, more and more of your liberty, more and more of your rights. It's all it'll cost. Aren't you willing to give up your rights for the promise, the false promise of safety? I seem to remember Benjamin Franklin saying something about that once. Yeah, he said that they who would give up an essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty or security. Which makes me wonder, what do the American people deserve? You see, the interesting thing about this is not so much that tyrants wish to assume power. That is kind of like, that's normal operating procedure. People with power tend to want more power. Therefore, you put a person in a position of power, they're more likely to want more power. As Lord Acton said, power corrupts, absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. So it's not really surprising that those people we have given power over us want more, that they're willing to do more, that they're willing to take more power beyond what we've authorized. That doesn't surprise me one little bit. That, I don't say it doesn't bother me, but that to me is not the big problem. To me, the problem is the American people who are so willingly handing over their power, their authority, their rights for this promise of safety, for this promise of being taken care of, for this promise of, you know, the COVID bug won't get you, the monkeypox bug won't get you, we'll make sure you have baby formula, we'll protect you from violent criminals. All you have to do is give up your rights and responsibility for yourself, and we promise to do it for you. Now, if you think about it, if you have a group of people who are dependent on others, there really are two groups of people that are dependent on others for everything, for their food, for their safety, for their health care. One of them is children. The other are servants. See, our children are dependent on parents for their food, for their clothing, for their safety, for their health care. But so are servants. Which means if I look at the American people right now, what I see is a group of either, they're either children or they're servants. Now, what's the primary difference? Well, I don't know that I can come up with a single unified answer, but there's one thing that seems to really make a difference. See, children did not volunteer to be dependent on others. They're born that way. Babies are born completely dependent on someone else to survive. And they grow out of it. At least that's what we hope. We hope as they grow and mature, they begin to take responsibility for themselves. And as parents, it is our job to raise mature children that are prepared to take care of themselves. Servants voluntarily give up their rights. You take a job as a servant, you are voluntarily giving up your rights and letting someone else order you around. Now, maybe it wasn't entirely voluntary, right? Maybe you think of in history, right? If you were a conquered nation, you became servant not because of anything you volunteered for. It happened to you. So that's just not a perfect analogy. But it makes me wonder, are the American people not maturing? Or are they simply volunteered to be children? Volunteered to be servants? I look at the number of adults still living at home, dependent on their parents. And I wonder, Has the American people, as a society, have we decided we can't be trusted with our own safety, our own health care, our own provisions, that we must be told what to do? Because I see it everywhere. People waiting for government to tell them it's okay to do this, or waiting for the government to tell them how to deal with this problem. I'm reminded of a quote from Ronald Reagan. He says, "We the people tell government what to do. It doesn't tell us," except nowadays, that seems to be exactly opposite. More and more, I see people that wait for government to tell them what to do, and they refuse to tell government what to do. Maybe it's too scary. Maybe they just don't know any better. But I believe one way we can change this is through education. It's what the Constitution study is here for. It's to help people read and study the Constitution and teach the rising generation to be free so that we know our rights, we recognize when they're violated, and that we're prepared to defend and assert them. And I hope you find this message important enough that you'll share it with others. Let them know they can listen to the Constitution study 5 days a week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player or on our apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com to find out more. They can also listen on our podcasts. All of my shows go to podcasts generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. Find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeartPodcast, anywhere you listen to your podcast. And don't just listen. Don't just subscribe. Please subscribe. Rate the show, but share it as well. See, when you subscribe, when you give me a rating, when you share the episodes of the podcast, other people can find this. Other people can realize, hey, there is a place we can go to hear about living free, to help learn how to live as free citizens and not as subjects or serfs of government. Most importantly, we can find others. You see, if you try to stand up alone, you're an easy target. But if there's a group where two or three are gathered together, the strength is in numbers. We've seen it through the COVID. We've seen it throughout history. So again, please share the Constitution study with others. Help them to find the voice of liberty. And then come back after this break. We'll talk about some more of governments taking control.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down, you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. I'm so glad you could join me today. You know, we're talking about this idea that to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. This idea that government really only has one answer to everything, and that it is tyranny. Well, for example, how do you deal with contradictory information? There's a story from the Bible. When the Apostle Paul was driven out of Thessalonica, he went to this town called Berea. And he referred to the people of Berea as more noble, more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they listened to what was said, then went back to Scripture to see if it was so. And I often use that quote as an example of why I go back to original sources. I want to go back to the original documents. I want to go back to the original opinions. I want to go back to the laws and the Constitution, the Declaration, to make sure that it says what people are telling me it says. And that, I believe that's important. But there's another piece of that puzzle that I think is apropos. See, Paul said they did. It's not that they shut down people that disagreed with him. They listened to people with contradictory ideas, and then they went to see if it was true. Now, compare that to how government works. See, government hears something contradictory, or I should say tyrants work, because it's not just governments. You can be a tyrannical citizen. You can be a tyrannical business owner. But what they say is, when something disagrees with me, I need to shut down the opposition. We saw this in great effect with the attempt to create a disinformation governance board, or as some people like to call it, the Ministry of Truth. I waited. I told you, I didn't jump on the Ministry. I waited to see what they were saying, what they were going to do, because the stated goal of the disinformation board was to advise government how to deal with information disinformation that impacted the security of the homeland. Well, it didn't take too long for to find out the people that were hired were in themselves peddlers of disinformation, knowingly lying to the American people to promote a political agenda. Now, after the person took I forget what her name was, she was going to be the leader. She took a lot of heat for a lot of the nonsense she set out. So they kind of put a pause on the disinformation plan, but they didn't get rid of it. No. They just brought the volume down, hoping that they could slide it in without grabbing too much attention. See, quietly they brought in former Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff and former U.S. Deputy Attorney General Jamie Gorelick, saying they can take over, and maybe because we've got some nice calm names, people won't be too upset about this idea of the government deciding what is and isn't misinformation. See, to a tyrant, the way you deal with disagreement is you shut it down. We've seen it in governments. I've seen it in business. I've seen it in churches. I've seen it in other organizations and groups. If you don't like what's being said, shut it down. Don't allow disagreement. Don't allow debate. We don't care about the Constitution. We don't care about the right of free speech and freedom of the press. We are simply going to shut it down because we think it's disinformation. In other words, when they hear something they don't like, they don't go to check to see if it's so. They simply do all they can to stop it. They don't want other people to hear it. That's not freedom. Oh, but we're doing it to protect you. It's for the homeland security. You want to feel secure, don't you? I don't expect the government to make me secure. I want it to defend our borders. That's, defend us from outside invasion. That's a power delegated to the United States. But to determine whether or not something is disinformation, the largest purveyor of disinformation is the federal government. Just think Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction, or Iran-Contra. Just think of the recent COVID. How about the attempt of the White House to get social media to shut down information they don't like but is factually accurate? Heck, I've had my LinkedIn account shut down, the latest. I've already been kicked off of Facebook. Now, and Pinterest, by the way, has been suppressing my content. They didn't tell me they were going to suppress my content. Just all of a sudden, all of my engagements disappeared overnight. went away, zero. And now LinkedIn's locked me out of my account. They say I posted stuff that was contrary to their guidelines. They were at least kind enough to show me which articles I posted that were contrary to their guidelines, but they didn't actually tell me which guideline it violated. Now, that's interesting. But again, we see the response to information, the tyrant's response to contradictory information is to shut it down. So as California is moving to adopt a medical misinformation bill, so the state of California will tell you what the truth is. They'll tell you whether or not ivermectin works, whether or not hydroxychloroquine works, whether or not the vaccine is safe. Forget your medical conditions. We're going to tell you. And if it's medical misinformation, what happens next? Will they deal with misinformation about, gun violence? Or the baby formula shortage? How about who won the election? We're going to let the government tell us? Oh, we've determined that so-and-so won the election. Yeah, but I've got evidence of fraud. No, that's misinformation. Is that the America you want to live in? Or how about Senator Schumer, who's not happy that Fox is talking about great replacement? You see, for years, in fact, decades probably, the Democratic Party has been talking about demography is destiny. That if they can just get enough people to come to this country that will vote for them, they will remain in control. Well, Fox News' Tucker Carlson has been discussing this plan, referring to it as the Great Replacement. Hey, if we can simply replace more and more Americans with foreigners that are voting, American voters with either aliens or others that are more, that come from countries that look like what the Democratic Party wants us to look like, they'll be in control. Of course, Democratic leader, Senate leader Chuck Schumer, he doesn't like that. So what does he do? He sends a letter to Rupert Murdoch and other at Fox News demanding that they immediately stop, that Fox immediately stop discussing the Great Replacement. By the way, while President Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas are aiding this Great Replacement by refusing to enforce our immigration laws. But you see, Schumer doesn't want people talking about that. So he's demanding that a news outlet not talk about what he doesn't like. Well, I don't know what response Fox or Carlson or anyone has, but I would hope we would take something from history. See, if you remember World War II, the Battle of Bastogne, the 101st Airborne was surrounded by Germans, and the German commander asked for the surrender of the U.S. contingent. Now, the general in charge, General McAuliffe, had a single word response: nuts. You know what I'd like to see? Have Fox News tell Chuckie Schumer? Nuts. Or go pound sand, or stuff it, or something along those lines. I want them to be up on their high horse saying, how dare you, sir, even suggest to tell somebody what they will put in their news, what they will speak, or what they will publish. That, sir, is a violation of the First Amendment. That, sir, is a federal crime. Oh, by the way, sir, since you didn't do this on the floor of the Senate, yes, you can be punished for that. You can be arrested for it. Ladies and gentlemen, where are the calls for the ethics complaints? Where are the calls for impeachment? Where are the calls of federal charges against Senator Schumer for demanding someone give up their right protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, their freedom of speech and their freedom of the press? Where? See, you want to know why government gets away with this? It's because too often the people sit back, watch it happen, go tisk, 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 isn't that bad? But I'll guarantee you, I would be so shocked if Senator Schumer, being from New York, doesn't win his next election. You have a petty tyrant telling a news organization what they can and cannot discuss, trying to at least. And in fact, the only thing worse than not doing anything would be to actually fold. But I'm not even sure that's true, because our apathy to these criminal acts are what allow them to grow. So when we see the report that the FBI spied on 3.3 million Americans without a warrant, it happened because when they spied on 1 million Americans, nobody did anything. When they spied on 100,000 Americans, nobody did anything. Oh, sure, there was stuff in the news and people whined and complained, but nobody did anything. Nobody paid a price for their criminal activity. And now we are suffering the consequences. Another quote from Reagan. He said, But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-thought lessons of how they, in their lifetime, must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free. For decades, ladies and gentlemen, we have not fought for, protected, and defended freedom. We have sat back and expected others to do it for us. We did not teach the lessons to our children, how they too have to fight and defend and protect freedom. Because there are always those who want to control you, who want to take your freedom, who think they know best how you should live your life. So we are suffering from generations who have been of apathy, generations of an unwillingness to fight for, defend, and protect the freedoms we claim to cherish. The fault is not someone else's. The fault lies squarely in the laps of the American people. If we let our elected officials get away with taking away our rights, telling us how to live, claiming the authority to control every aspect of our life, and we do nothing, the fault is ours. In the debates over the Constitution, John Francis Mercer said, "It is a great mistake to suppose that the paper we are to propose will govern the United States. It is the men whom it will bring into government and interest in maintaining it that is to govern them. The paper will only mark out the mode and the form. Men are the substance and must do the business. We have put people in office who are unworthy. And until we remove them and place people who are worthy, who will fulfill their oath to support the Constitution of the United States, people in the state governments who will fulfill their oath to support the constitutions of their state and of the United States, who recognize that the only power the federal government has is what was delegated to them by the Constitution. Until we do that, until we put in men and women of substance and support them as men and women of substance, we will continue to watch as our freedoms and our liberties get hammered again and again and again and again until they all but disappear and they exist in name only. I'm not surprised that power-hungry people end up in government. I'm not surprised that the siren song of power corrupts them and makes them even more corrupt. I'm not even surprised that the American people seem unwilling or unable to do anything about it. They think they are unable, therefore they are unwilling. Now, in a few months, some of us are going to go to the polls. We're going to cast ballots for men and women to exercise our power in our name as they represent us in various governments at other levels. I want to remind you of a story from the movie Saving Private Ryan. As Captain Miller lay dying, he grabbed Private Ryan and told him two words: earn this. Men, his company had died. There was only going to be one person survived to save Private Ryan. He had been given a gift. He needed to earn the sacrifice that was made for him. Ladies and gentlemen, millions of men and women have fought and bled and died so that you could live free, so that you could choose your leaders, both at the ballot box and by making sure the election process is free, fair, and transparent. That is a tremendous gift. It is a tremendous blessing. It's about time the American people stand up and earn our right to vote. earn it by vetting our candidates, not by the promises they make, not by the bribes they offer, but by their fidelity to the Constitution. These men and women are our employees. The Constitution of the United States is their employee manual. Let us all read it so that we know what to expect of them. Let us study it so we know it in detail, so we can recall it. And let us hold our elected officials and the bureaucrats that exist in offices because these elected officials created them, hold them accountable for their actions to follow that employee handbook. And if they refuse, I don't care if it's a political party, I don't care if it's a goodie promised, if they refuse to follow their oath of office and we are unwilling to remove them, then we are the people of no substance. And we are the ones that are allowing our freedoms to be trampled, destroyed, and hammered into the dust. Now, I hope you'll take this program and you'll share it with friends and family. In fact, take all the programs. Make America Out Loud a daily stop to find out the news and happenings. Do all that we can to share the stories, the videos, the podcasts. Help others see that we are not helpless and we are not alone. That we can stand and fight and defend our freedom and help secure the blessings of liberties, not just for ourselves, but for our posterity.
Paid the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.